godly in Christ, Jesus, shall suffer persecution.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't read that part. Maybe I want to change my mind here. It's a privilege. And it's not to be compared to what will be revealed in us and to us in glory. But it's not even compared to what he's doing for us now. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. So it's showing you that it's something that has been there all along, but it's taken to another level. Right? Evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for... For correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, as we gather together this evening, Lord, we ask you that you'd forgive us, Lord, of our frailties, of our mistakes, Lord. Father, we don't want to do things that aren't pleasing. We don't want to do things that allow our flesh to get out from under us, Lord. But we do make mistakes, and we plead the blood here tonight, Lord. And we ask for your forgiveness, and Lord, we ask that you would always go before us. We want your word to go before us, and we want everything to every day to be. We want to be able to say, all is well. It is well with my soul. Father, may your blessings be upon each and every one. May you minister to each and every heart according to their needs tonight, Lord. We're just as needy as anybody in any other age, perhaps more so, Lord, because the enemy is coming around as a roaring lion. He's not a lion, but he's impersonating and trying to deceive, laying in wait to deceive. But Lord, you've provided everything that's needed in this day. And Lord, we're looking to it. We're taught to ask and to that we will receive, to knock and it shall be opened. Lord, that the floodgates of heaven are just waiting to be poured out. But it's up to us, Lord, to be your agents here on the earth and to speak out into this dimension. What you've shown us, Lord, is your will in the heavenly dimension. Father, bless each and every one, we pray. And Father, may our hearts be searched as we prepare to, Lord, to partake of your supper here tonight in obedience to your word. And Father, we give you once again all the praise and honor and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like to read also from 1 Peter chapter 2, and we'll start at the third verse. Peter said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. How many has tasted that he's gracious? Amen. Amen. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, you also as lively stones. So he's the a living stone. He was the chief cornerstone, and he's also the headstone. But you also are lively stones, and are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, and Zion of course is speaking of the bride, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. They didn't know what to do with that stone. Brother Branham said they kicked it over into the weed pile. It was an odd stone. It just didn't seem to fit, but it was the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone. And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. It's the word that offends, but blessed is he that's not offended in word or in deed. Amen. And a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto, notice this, whereunto also they were appointed. Now, friends, God is God. He can do whatever he wants. Amen. He can choose the elect. He can choose those that are going to be on the other end of the extreme, right? Those that are disobedient, those that stumble over the word, those that reject the word. They were appointed for that purpose, right? Now, that's not shouting material. I understand that's not something, we don't rejoice in iniquity. We don't wish that upon anybody. But being that it's a law of contrast, if they were appointed to that and they absolutely fulfill that, how about you who have been appointed to better things? But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This is not us saying it. This is what he says. A royal priesthood and holy nation, a peculiar people. So when people call you an oddball, you should say thank you. Hallelujah. A holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. You came out of darkness. Sister Baker gave me a book that everybody's trying to figure out what it is, and it's got some kind of, I forget what you call that material. It's kind of a cellular material. It looks like a fan or an accordion when you open it up. But it says the Word of God. It's like a little Bible, but you open it up and everybody's looking at it. Well, you got to plug it into a USB connector, right, to charge that first. And then you got to make sure that the computer's on so that the USB connector provides power. But once you've done that, well, then you actually have to turn out the lights but when you turn out the lights and you open that up, it's light shining in the darkness. Right? And the book is open. To see that light, the book has to be open. You had to be in darkness for him to call you out from the darkness into the light. Otherwise, you were just naturally born. You know, mom and dad just happened to, you just lucked out because mom and dad happened to go to the right church and were hearing the right word. No, we were all at one time in darkness. Amen. Your understanding was not open because it was not open to everything because you went to a certain church. You had to be quickened just like the rest of us. Right? There were things that you accepted, and that's a wonderful thing, and there were so many things that you learned. I rejoice. There are scriptures that are just burned into my memory banks. And I can quote them left and right because we were taught that as a Baptist. But they didn't become real to me like they are now until a later time. That didn't mean that I didn't believe or that I was trying to disbelieve. It's just that it hadn't been open to my understanding. So if the book is open, the only way you're going to see that light is for the book to be open. And the contrast is going to show to you and demonstrate to you that you really are seeing something that others can't see. Not because you're trying to be different. And not because you're pushing somebody else out or thinking differently about them or trying to form some other kind of a clique or whatever, right? But you just realize you're made in a certain way. You appreciate that light. You're drawn to it. You're attracted to it. So thank you, Sister Baker, for some more preaching material here. So we know that excuse me, I didn't read the rest of it, did I? That you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people. We weren't a people. Amen? But are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. God who's rich in mercy. So we know that Paul and Peter and John and Jude and others, they prophesied in the New Testament of the conditions that would be in place. Jesus did as well. Conditions that would be in place in the last days of the Gentile ages. And we know that there's a people that are, and I realize that isn't correct English, but a people, right? We're not talking about this individual or that individual. We're talking about collectively a people that are foreordained to be disobedient, right? They are foreordained. We don't wish that on anybody, but we've read the script, and somebody's going to play that part. It's part of the drama, right? There's going to be one over here who believes and will not doubt the word of God, and there's going to be somebody over here that's offended by it, right? It's just going to be that way. So there's a people that are foreordained to be disobedient, to stumble at the word, to be a rock of offense. We don't know who they are, and we'll expend our last breath if we have to going after them, right? Because it ain't over till it's over. As long as there's a breath in their body, there's an opportunity. And we don't know when that light's going to turn on, or if. Amen. But there's also a people, as Peter said here, that is a chosen generation, chosen from the genes of God, chosen from inside of him, to live out the word in this hour. Amen. It's not an accident. It's not a law of averages or a law of, you know, if I get enough and I try enough and get enough church members, somebody's, you know, bound to get lucky somewhere. No, it's ordained. Right? The word was ordained for this age, and there's a people that were ordained for the word for this age, and they were ordained to receive that word and to manifest that word. Hallelujah. And be a light shining in this last day. So there's a people that obtain and possess the inheritance, and they're a peculiar people. A people that show forth the praises of God, as we read, which is to show forth the praises of God, simply put, friends, it's to show forth the virtues of God in living vessels. It's to show forth his very character and his very nature in a human vessel. Brother Brennan put it this way. He said, the highest form of worship is a man, a woman, fully surrendered to God in the stature of a perfect man. Or woman, right? A man or a woman fully surrendered to God, mature, as they should be. That is perfect worship. God is being praised. That is perfect worship. Hallelujah. That's our desire, is to worship him perfectly. Amen. So it's a people that were, as Paul put it, they were chosen in him. In the book of Ephesians, he said they were chosen in him. And they're chosen in him to walk in the evening light. And they are called forth from the darkness that, once again, we all once walked in. Right? All of us. You say, no, not me. You were once, Peter walked with the Lord. Peter was justified. Peter was sanctified. But he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost until after the Holy Ghost came. And the Lord showed him things after he was filled with the Holy Ghost that he couldn't see until he was filled with the Holy Ghost. There are things that he could receive because of who he was. And he received that great revelation, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he was told flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you. But Jesus himself said, there are so many things that I've told you, you can't receive it But when the Holy Ghost comes, He'll teach you as if it's another person saying it that way. But we understand what he was getting at. We'll teach you, lead you into all truth. So we all must be birthed by the Spirit.
Amen.
In order for God to lead us into all the truth for our day and to quicken that word within us. It's one thing for us to believe the word, to confess it, and it's external. It's something that's maybe happening in somebody else's life or happening with the church. It's quite another for that word to be in you and to be lived out in you and through you. Amen. So the behavior and the attributes of those that make up each of these groups of people, if you will, are described to us by the prophets. And Paul said that the end times would be a time that was perilous, right? And the word perilous, it means hard to do, hard to take, hard to approach, hard to bear, troublesome, dangerous, harsh, fierce, savage. You know what's so hard? You know what's so perilous about living in America today? Having too much. It's perilous. Oh, I was thinking about, you know, wolves coming after us and getting chased around and out in the forest and, you know, having to steal or having to grub around for food and, you know, wearing rags. No, it's actually the opposite. It's being blessed. Israel could never take a blessing. Come on, friends. You say, well, I'd sure like to try. Well, you're being given your opportunity, right? And those that are blessed, what do they say? I have need of nothing. I got it all. I don't need anything more. And yet he tells them, you are poor. You're destitute. You're naked. You're wretched. You have need of everything, but you don't know it. You don't realize it. So Peter says that there are days that would be spiritually perilous. And not physically perilous so much, although it just depends on where you're at, where you live. And, there are Christians over in Africa that are being murdered, right? There are Christians in the Middle East, other places, right? So it's not that that isn't happening, but the greatest a part of our age that we're struggling with is actually spiritual. Amen? So in the natural, we know, I mean, think about this. In the natural, it's a day of ease compared to other ages. If you just compare our day to other ages, right? It's a day when the a whole lot of the conversation is about vacations. Well, I just lost everybody. Shall we close? It's about vacations. It's about travel. I mean, what is social media? What is a predominant? I'm not, you understand, we're not saying, oh, you're going to go to hell if you take a vacation. Of course not. But that is the focus for a lot of people, right? Well, if it doesn't interfere with my vacation, I guess maybe I can commit to something 6 months down the road. It's a day when people are focused on what they want out of life. And it's more easily accessible in our day than other ages. It's an age of entertainment. It's an age of sports. Okay, now I really need to close. Well, am I going to go to hell if I... It's an age where all of these things are out there. Vying for your attention. It's an age of relaxation, right? Most of the people, if you think about it, that ever lived on the earth daily had other things on their minds besides their next timeshare, right? Like putting food on the table. I mean, if you think about it, I mean, Why is it that here in the end time we've got all these ideologies, all these political ideologies, pushing this ism, and this is a better, and that's better, right? It's because people have time to think about it,
right?
When you're looking to put food on the table, and when a 30-year-old is an old-timer, when you're losing half your children after they're born of this disease or that disease, you got other things on your mind. Not where's your next vacation. What's a vacation, you know? That's a day when you don't have to go out in the field or whatever, right? So it's a perspective, right? We need to recognize that this is different than how it was in other days. It's a day of leisure time and, 40-hour work weeks. In Europe, a lot of times it's 30-hour work weeks and government assistance. And it's hard for people to imagine that this could be a day that's described by Paul as perilous times. Right? But it is. That's what's so deceptive about it. It is Laodicea, which is an age where the rights of an individual are emphasized above everything else. And women are told, for instance, that they have the right to do whatever they want with their own bodies, which includes the right to terminate a life in the womb or even as it comes forth from the womb. The family can have two voices, and the head of the house is the one that wants the job or the one that takes the reins. That's the head of the house. Children under 18, they have the right to have premarital sex and to terminate any life that results without having to inform their parents, and the rights to decide against nature and change their bodies to match a gender choice at any given moment without parental knowledge or consent in many places. Now, friends, we are not hard-hearted. There are people that have issues. There are people that have troubles. There are people that are confused. And we have an answer. There's a help. But mutilation is not the answer. And denial of biology is not the answer. We're told that all men are created equal, right? Which we know on its face is not true. Now, before anybody gets political on me here tonight, we know that's not true. We are and should be entitled to equal protection under the law.
Sure.
But there are differences among us, and we call that true diversity. Right? Jesus himself said, to some are given 10 talents. To another one, 1. What are you doing with what you got? So there are some that have many talents and others are given less talents or abilities. That's just a fact. Right? I realize that every time the musicians get up. It's like, okay, Lord, I'm not doubting you. Really, I'm not doubting you, but you didn't leave me out? I hope I play an instrument up there, because it's in here. Hallelujah. I thank God for those that are blessed. Not only blessed with those gifts, but they surrender those gifts to the Lord. That's just as good, if not better, than having it yourself, right? Because somebody else is doing the work, and you're getting blessed. But then, by the same token, you're blessing other parts of the body by what you've been given. And who's to say what's more important than the other, right? It's a time when limits and absolutes are constantly being tested and constantly being challenged. If the public is not for something, when it's first presented to the public, well, then public opinion is worked on. And polling then is repeated until the public, by and large, is for a certain policy or a certain behavior or a new norm. In other words, it's just a continuous push. It's not, well, we just want this. No, the devil wants it all. So the only thing that remains constant in our day is change. Well, there is one more thing. The Word of God, which does not change. It's constant. So the way that people act in the last days, it's not what was considered in the days of Paul to be normal. Otherwise, how would you know? There's no contrast, right? If that's how it was in his day, well, okay, tell us something we don't know. In fact, the behavior of many would not have been considered normal in most any other day, except for maybe the days of Noah or the days of Sodom that led to destruction. And Jesus declared that it would be a self-satisfied age focused on the rights of the people, a day when rights are taken to the extreme. Friends, a woman has a high calling by God of being called to reflect the character of the bride of Jesus Christ. It's a high calling. But our society has become a me-first society and puts the individual into the center of all things instead of putting Christ in the center. So what results from that is self-worship, lovers of pleasure more than the lovers of God. A man has a high calling likewise of reflecting the image of the bridegroom in his family, in the church, to the world, on the job, by living for others first, by laying down his own life if need be so, of providing for, of nurturing, instructing, uniting, standing in the middle, counseling. But he's told that his position is not his position. He's told that that's an old-fashioned male chauvinist attitude. But I'll tell you what, friends, I much prefer God's ways over Satan's scientific evil. In this age, the living word, the chief cornerstone, has come amongst us once again and has been despised and rejected once again. And to be despised and rejected, he had to be put on display. The word is on display. And the word is looking for a place to lay his head, a place that will unite with the head and come under the headship of the word. And there is such a place here tonight. There is such a body on the earth here tonight. And the irony of this day is that we have the fullness of the word restored back to us, and yet at the same time so few, many that are highly educated, but so few recognize it for what it is, and they would rather take their own opinions over the unfailing words of promise, the vindicated, proven unfailing words of promise. So it's a day that is rebelling against headship because the head has come to unite with the body, as prophesied. So of course you would expect to see a greater rebellion against headship because the headship's here. It's the very same battle between Michael and Lucifer that began in heaven that is waging on earth here this evening in another dimension. Satan has blinded the eyes of many to what true Christianity is, and he's given to them, as Paul said, a strong delusion to believe a lie over the truth of the word. But at the very same time, so enough about the darkness, right? We recognize that, though, don't we? It's a sign of the end times. At the very same time, there are those that are living out the word that was prophesied for our day. Amen. That are saying amen to the word. That are surrendering to that. That are saying, I'm in that word. Amen. That word is in me. Hallelujah. They're surrendering to it, and it is being made manifest in this day. Hallelujah. God foretold your coming here on the earth. He described what you would do, who you would be, how you would be dressed, how you would be arrayed, what would take place, the works that would take place. Amen. There are people that are playing at Christianity. Now, friends, many times they are people that are, they're not hypocrites, but they aren't what they claim to be. They aren't what the Word declares them to be. And they don't realize that it's something that they're trying to do versus what will be done in a born-again believer's heart. Are you with me? It's so acceptable to be an impersonator in this age. It's actually looked up to, right? The religious men in Jesus' day, they were play-acting, and many of them with deep sincerity. Don't tell me that Paul wasn't sincere. He was. But they were trying to be something that they weren't. They were trying to be something that they weren't. And they were claiming to be the righteous people of God, but no one could be righteous under the law. The hypocrite was one who wears a mask, one who wears a cloak. An impersonation is the act of pretending to be another person. Right? And Jesus came down hard on the actors in his day. They were play-acting at righteousness. And as we read this morning, he said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees. You shall, you're not, you won't enter into the kingdom. But today, imitators are as prominent, just about, as the ones that they're imitating. In all walks of life, it's encouraged. It's taught. It's learned behavior. But let me ask you tonight, how many can remember the name of that really great Elvis impersonator? Right? Hint, his name wasn't Elvis. Right? He's the best Elvis impersonator I ever heard. Okay, what's his name? Who wants to be the second greatest Elvis? There's only one Elvis. I'll give you a hint of what his name is. Elvis. Right? Why would you want to be a second best Elvis when you can be a first rate Merritt or Ben? Or, right? Hallelujah. How many can remember the names of those that were impersonators of our presidents? We've had a lot of, I mean, that was real popular, right? Back in the 70s and 80s, you know. My fellow Americans. You know, trying to imitate, I think his name was something Little. Yeah, I think pretty little of him. Yeah. There was, you know, a guy named Chevy Chase. I don't know who makes these names up, right? And all he did was stumble over furniture, and he's Gerald Ford, you know. And the irony of it is that Gerald Ford was a star athlete. He was a champion. He wasn't a klutz, right? But he just happened to trip one time, and it got caught. And so the rest of his life, the impersonator is showing him to be something that he's not. So what about those that are portraying Christianity to the public in this hour, right? Bunch of weirdos, bunch of fanatics, bunch of this and that and the other. Let me give you another example. If I speak perfect Spanish, I don't, in case you're wondering. If I speak perfect Spanish and I dress in the native clothing of Mexico and I take daily siestas, I won't tell you if I do or not. If I only eat Mexican food, which I could do that, and I only drink, is it horchata? Is that how you say it? Okay. Does that make me a Mexican national? No. The only way for me to be a Mexican national is for me to be born a Mexican or become a naturalized citizen, right? And for many countries, that means you first have to renounce your previous citizenship. Not always, but a lot of times you do. If I put on a Western outfit, if I spit in a spittoon, ding. If I sleep outdoors, if I don't bathe often, if I sing ballads, if I walk around with a guitar on my hip, does that make me a cowboy? A person can be acting at something and still be a child of God. Don't get me wrong. Paul was a child of God, and he tried to be a Pharisee. In fact, he tried so hard that his own testimony was, I was the chiefest of Pharisees. I was the best Pharisee you'd ever find. Brother Branham said the word Pharisee means actor. So he was trying to be who he wasn't. And he did it better than anybody else. Play acting at righteousness. But one day, he found the righteousness of his sacrifice. He found that it was in the Lord Jesus and not in the law, and he agreed to an exchange. Paul was sincere in his prior acting, but he was sincerely wrong. And he could admit that. And because he could admit that, he was led into all truth, where he saw things that he never even talked about. Saw things at levels that we don't even know exist. Amen? But he had to humble himself. He had to say, you know, I was the chiefest actor. If you were for the law, I was for it more than you. And he was sincere, right? But Paul had to come in contact with that pillar of fire, and then his play acting days were over. So many of us, friends, we search for our purpose here in this life, and along the way, we try to be this, we try to be that, but we're all called to be something. I tried to be a biker at one time. They knew I wasn't a biker. I knew I wasn't. But I tried. So glad I didn't fit. Brother Branham was called to sound forth in this age. And God used him to sound forth a message in the last day. And his message did not sound until the end of his ministry, as it is with all of the church age messengers. And then the mystery was finished according to the prophecy. What a blessed people that we are. We're hearing directly from Almighty God through a message, a living voice in this day. Oh, we're without excuse, friends. We're hearing it loud and clear and plain, and it's been proven and vindicated. And it still is being proven and vindicated. And this message is directly speaking to you. Amen. And it's directly speaking about you. You say, oh no, it's all about Christ. It's about Christ and you. Amen. The hope of glory. Amen. Certainly it was sent and signified, first of all, by a messenger, by a prophet. But you are the one that it was delivered to. You're the reason. The scripture says, behold, I send to you Elijah, the prophet. Behold, I send to you Elijah, the prophet. Well, why? To turn your heart. So if there was no Elijah, my heart wouldn't be turned. But if I wasn't here, there's no need for an Elijah. I'm the reason Elijah was sent. I have my part in it. He had his part in it. I don't want his part. Hallelujah. So God is addressing his bride, his chosen people in this hour, and they are the very last stones that are being added to the building. And they lay, their place in the body is right next to the headstone. That means they got to match that headstone. Right? It can't be a blue stone here and a yellow stone there. Right? They got to match. They got to fit together. And they are lively stones. They are living stones that are part of the mystery. And God is writing out and he is expressing that mystery in human hearts, in human flesh, and he's revealing that very same message in the same, in human hearts. And the last ones are being placed in the body. And once the last ones are placed in, well, then the entire body is united with the headstone in this dimension, and they go then with him to the wedding supper. Amen. So meanwhile, as we were being reminded on Wednesday night and other services as well, we are in an Emmaus walk in this last day. Right? We are in a personal walk. This was in my notes before our brother spoke on Wednesday, and I just love how the Lord just puts everything together. And he knows how to encourage us, right? In the message, The Rapture, Yuma, Arizona, part of this was quoted. He says, now we see that the reason that this subject is so lightened at is because that the prophet here has said that in the last days, these scoffers would come and say these things. See, it's predicted. The reason the people are acting today the way they're acting, why? You certainly are expecting it, because the Bible said that in the last days that they'd be heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, despisers of those that are good, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof, from such turn away. He says, can we look for an impersonation of truth? Certainly. When Moses went down into Egypt to deliver the children of Israel with only a stick in his hand for a vindication, with the God of heaven behind him, he performed a miracle. There come impersonators behind him. And doing the exact same, he threw his stick on the ground, they threw their stick on the ground, his turned into a snake, theirs turned into a snake. So his snake ate their snake. But they were impersonating. There come impersonators behind him, doing the same thing that he did. Now they come second after he did it first. We saw a great healing revival. Great campaigns went the world over. There was a lot that sprung up, right? Many of them good. But there was a lot of impersonation. And yet the signs were real. Now they come second. He did it first. Then they come around because they were copying after what he did. I've experienced that in my own little ministry that the Lord has given us, where, I've been praying with people and things just come. It's just how the Lord, I didn't ask for it. I didn't, gifts and callings are without repentance, right? And God, he's the one that decides it and what have you. So you just do what the Lord leads you to do, right? And don't try to be what somebody else is. But I've had people come and want to stand right beside me and try to do the same thing in the same way, right? And you say, well, why? How do you even notice that? Because it gets in the way, right? And it's an impersonation, right? And yet you can see results on people that somebody else is impersonating a gift with, right? Because there's faith and gifts and, nobody has a corner on these things, right? God is still honoring his word, right? And I'm nobody to imitate, if you want to imitate, one of these, somebody that's, everybody knows it's, some great stature. Why would you want to imitate me? Why would you want to be a second-rate Doug Baker when Doug Baker doesn't even want to be a Doug Baker? Why would you want to be a second-rate Doug Baker when you can be a first-rate fill in the blank, whatever God called you to be. We're not exempt. He says, we find that. And now you say, well, that was in the days of Moses. But the same scripture says they'll come again in the last days, a Jannes and a Jambres that withstood Moses. So will these men of reprobate mind concerning the truth. See, impersonations, all kinds of things to upset people. The rapture, which is coming to pass, and anything that God has in the line of His Word, there's always something to come out to upset, if it can. And it's Satan's purpose to do that. As the brother here from the meetings up there at Las Vegas said, Satan said the world was his dominion, and that being his headquarters was up there. I know that Satan is the god of this world. He is. He's the god of this evil age. He's never been the god of the age, but he is the god of this age. The god, and he's being worshiped as God. Every nation under heaven is controlled by him. So if you guys want to discuss politics and get in different corners and look differently at one another, you're just courting to the devil. Because he's the one that runs it all. Oh, but this is better than that. It may be better than that, but it's still of the devil. We shouldn't be concerned about that. Right? We shouldn't... Our focus... Look, vote if you feel led to vote, but stay off the picket line. It isn't your job to try to convert everybody to this thinking or that thinking. It's your job to be a light. It's your job to let Christ be, to people to be introduced to Christ. That'll settle the, if they truly get introduced to Him, that'll settle the political discussions. Right? We don't see Jesus going around, rah, rah for Caesar, and down with Herod. Let's pick it against this, and let's pick it against that. In fact, we don't hear men of any, in the scriptures of any other age doing that either. Why? Because we know that Satan has the kingdoms of this world. He offered them to Jesus. Jesus said, no, you're not going to give them to me. I'm going to pay the price for it, right? And I'm not going to accept it in this condition anyway. I'm going to pay the price for it, and then I'm going to level it all off and purge it and cleanse it and put it in order. Hallelujah. He says, Scripture says that they'll come again in the last days. A Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses. So will these men of reprobate minds concerning the truth. Impersonations. All kinds of things to upset the people. This rapture which is coming to pass. He's preaching the message, the rapture. This rapture which is coming to pass. Is coming to pass. The cycle had begun. This rapture, which is coming to pass, and anything that God has in the line of His Word, there's always something to come out to upset, if they can. It's Satan's purpose to do that. As a brother here from the meeting up there in Las Vegas said, Satan said the world was his dominion, and that being his headquarters was up there. I know that Satan is the god of this world. Every nation under heaven is controlled by him, exactly. This world belongs to Satan. But Jesus will take it over. He said, I come to bring another kingdom. But it's a spiritual kingdom. It will be a physical kingdom. But tonight it's a spiritual kingdom. Amen? So we don't need to rah-rah for this kingdom or that kingdom because our kingdom is coming. I know that Satan is the god of this world. Every nation under heaven is controlled by him. Exactly. This world belongs to Satan, but Jesus will take it over. He offered it to him one day, and he refused it. He said, because he knowed that he'd be heir to it in the times to come. What if Moses would have come and brought Noah's message? We'll build an ark, and we'll float down the Nile. It wouldn't have worked. And neither would Jesus' message have ever worked for Moses. And neither will Wesley's message ever work for Luther, or Luther's message, vice versa. And today, our last great reformation was Pentecost. And today, we're moving from that, and not from the Pentecostal experience, but from that organization and the message that was brought. He says the Pentecostal message won't mix with this, right? So our message is not, as we were reminded again on Wednesday night, pray and seek for a revival. That's not our message. We have a revival. We're in a revival. But it's not a repeat of that revival. It contains that plus. And the Pentecostal message won't mix with this because it's another day. It's all the Word of God. It's building, like the feet and the arms coming up. It's forming a bride for the rapture. We went past the tongues, right? It's not to say there's no tongues in the Bible. There still is. But we went past the tongues, which everybody could hear and see, up into the eyes. Now it's the mind. Let this mind be in you that was in Christ. So it's not a public show. It's His thoughts being expressed. That's our part. He says that this, because it's another day, it's all the Word of God, but it's building. Like the feet, the arm coming up, it's forming a bride for the rapture. See, don't displace them people back there. They live to their message. Pentecost wasn't a dirty word when it started. All them will come out was in the bride. Just like life going through the stalk of wheat, it leaves the wheat, the hull, but the wheat forms itself like a grain of wheat that fell in the ground. Here not long ago, I was reading a book some German wrote, a criticism, and he said, of all the fanatics of the world, William Branham tops them all. He said, why, he's nothing. He's a magician. He does these things. See, the man not knowing. And then the man was a critic. He didn't even believe in God. He said a God that could set up in the dark ages and hold his hands across his tummy and laugh at a bunch of Christians being mothers, and his own disciples was supposed to be mothers with little children and things and let lions eat them up and never even turn a hand. You see where the carnal mind, where the education and things can't catch the vision. That corn of wheat had to fall into the ground. Just like Jesus had to fall, rise again, so did the church of Pentecost have to fall. And it had to go into the ground, them dark ages. Any wheat, any grain that goes into the ground, it has to lay in the dark time to bring forth. But it started sprouting in Martin Luther, and then it come on through Wesley and on out into Pentecost, now in to go out to the grain. And now the denominational systems that they left behind, they're stocks. That's all. It's to be burnt, the denominational system. It served its purpose. There's no longer life in it. You say, well, that isn't fair. Well, then get mad at God over nature. Is it fair for the life to leave the wheat plant and to move into the seed, into the grain? What's unfair about it? Who are we to judge God? But the real grain of wheat that come out of each one of those reformations will be caught up in the bride. And it'll all together will make the bride. Amen. And you're the last ones. Amen. The finishing stones. Amen. Hallelujah. They're all waiting for us to come into our place. Or for the last one to come in, if we've come into our place. Amen. Amen. A form of Christianity versus Christ in you, the hope of glory. I don't know about you, but I don't want anything that's a form. I don't want to pretend nothing. I want the real. Give me the real, or let me do completely without. But this, friends, the sky is full of the real. You want the real, you'll see the real. You'll experience the real. Because he's just as real today as he's ever been. And he's manifesting himself in a greater measure in this day than in all the ages. What a blessed people we are. Well, if I just had a little more proof, what more proof do you need? You coming to perfection. That's what you ought to look for. Right? Lord, I need to see something else. Okay. Surrender. Give more of yourself. Let God take more control. Let him bring you to that fullness. Let him bring you to that place where you are perfect worship. Where you are surrendered to him. Where the word of God has preeminence. And where our reply is, be it unto me according to thy word. Let's stand. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Gloria a Dios. How do you say that in German, Brother Joel? Do you know? Didn't mean to put you on the spot. Is there another language here? Usually we have Sister Cornelia. How do you say that in Romanian? Glory to God. Yeah, that. Hallelujah.
I have to think about it.
That's okay. It's all right. Do you dream in English or Romanian? How about you, sisters? You dream in whatever the native language is, or is it English? I don't mean to. Is it more real when it's... Well, it's got to be spiritual. It's in my native language. I'm asking because I'm illiterate, and I'm only literate in one language. I admire people that learn other languages. I do, because I know that. I mean, I know from. I mean, I studied French for 4 years in high school. It really paid off, right? You got to use it, right? I don't remember most of what I learned, right? I used to know how to conjugate the verbs and the nouns and all that. Now I don't even remember what a verb and the noun is.
Amen.
So, you know, Brother Eli will share with me and I've spoken through a lot of different interpreters, and, you know, the Lord just helps you with that, and you just kind of get in sync with one another, and I don't know how to explain it, but it's like, you're kind of listening to yourself, and at the same time you're projecting that thought, and you're connecting with the people, but somehow there's a connection that you're still paying attention to, and that's God, because it's not something that's. Brother William talks about it. Brother Fernando talks about it. Brother Eli, and you can see it when it's in action, but you know, I had to have brothers like Brother Eli tell me, well, you know, in Spanish, we actually put things the other way. So if you say half of the sentence and then you want me to translate the other part, well, I don't know how to place that because I don't know what you're going to say. And what you're going to say is what I would have said first. Right? Kind of reverse the noun and the verb, right? And the action comes after the noun and whatever, right? English is complicated, isn't it? I feel sorry for people that have to learn English. I'm still learning. Why don't the English speak English? Oh my. I'm thankful that we understand his language. I'm thankful that it doesn't matter what language he's able to speak to us, right? And we're able to hear him in our own native tongue. Isn't that wonderful? Think about that. He's speaking forth, and we're all hearing him in our own tongue. What a God that we serve. Hallelujah. You love him?
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to change the order of the service. So let's bow our heads. Father, as we come to this other part of the service, Lord, first of all, we want to thank you for opening our eyes, Lord, and giving us the understanding. And Father, we thank you because we know your prophet taught us at your leading and your unction, the gift that you placed in his life. He taught us that about the law of contrast, and that if we not recognizing that, not knowing that there is a law of contrast, that it's necessary for us to experience darkness, to be exposed to darkness, so that when we're exposed to the light, we know that it's light. And we see the contrast, and we recognize that, wow, this is wonderful, and the opposite of that is horrible. And you took me from that into the light, and oh, how I love you, and how I appreciate you, and how I thank you, and how I realize that I never would have come to this light had you not drawn me into it. And that I wasn't raised in, Lord, as you know, I wasn't raised. I didn't cut my teeth on a message pew. Nothing against that or for that. We come however you ordained for us to come. But Lord, whether I cut my teeth on a pew or whether I came from the outside, Lord, there was light that came across my path. And that's what I'm drawn to. I'm still drawn to it, Lord. And still, as we reflect on some of the wonderful thoughts that were shared with us once again on Wednesday night, Lord, there's still something on the inside that's, as we started to say, we didn't finish the thought this morning, Lord, everybody's going to react in different ways. Some are going to be more boisterous. Some are going to be shouting. Some are going to maybe be more quiet or whatever. But what is the same, Lord, is what takes place down on the inside, that there's a stirring, there's a love, there's an excitement, there's an appreciation, there's a recognition of that light when that light comes. There's a desire down on the inside. There's a deep calling to the deep. Lord, that there, when that light comes across our path, we're drawn to it. And then we become addicts, Lord. We become lifelong seekers of that light. And it is our desire, Lord, for that light to then be manifested in us, through us, and for you to be glorified, for others to come to know you. And we're not trying to push anybody away or set up some kind of a hierarchy or lord over anybody else or kingdom build. Lord, our desire is if everyone that we could, everyone who comes across our path that could hear, that has an ability to hear or to see, if they could hear or see, if they surpass, Lord, our ability to hear or see, that wouldn't trouble us a bit. We would rejoice in that because we know, Lord, that you made us all, and that you made us the way that we are. We just want to be what you called us to be, and we're satisfied with that. We won't be happy trying to be something else. In fact, we don't want to be something else because we are content in what you've called us to be. Father, there's something that's down on the inside that's just still alive and real. To this day, Lord, we haven't lost our enthusiasm. We haven't lost our love for your word. We haven't lost that desire, Lord, that's down on the inside to continue to feast upon your word and for you to reveal yourself to us from glory to glory. And Father, if that is not our desire, I doubt that we'll be there in that new city. I doubt that we'll be there with all of those other ones, because Lord, you are going to continue to do this throughout eternity, and it's going to continue to satisfy, and it's going to continue to fulfill, and it's as you continue to unfold yourself. And so, Lord, we thank you for that, and we love you, Lord, and we thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice that we share that. We all have that in common, Lord, that fire that was lit, that fire that was started, that the truth coming across our path, Lord. There's nothing that means more to us. As your prophet said about the last age people, that Revelation means more. And he wasn't just speaking about the last day people, but there's more things being revealed in this day than in the other ages prior. We know that, other than the first age. But Lord, your messenger reminded us that Revelation, that there's nothing that means more to the true believer than Revelation. We share that. We rejoice in that. And so one might respond this way, another might respond that way. It's no indication. It's not a spiritual thermometer. It's not a measure of revelation. We'll all react, and we want to. We all want to just be who we are in you. But one thing that we do all have in common is that there's a stimulation that comes with that revelation. There's something down on the inside that just, like a bubbling brook, like a bubbling spring that just rejoices. And we may not ever shout or we might. It doesn't matter either way, but something's taking place down on the inside. And we thank you for that, Lord. And we rejoice in that. Father, as we change the order of the service now, as we prepare to be obedient, to partake of the Lord's Supper here tonight, Father, we ask that you would bless the bread, that you would bless the hands that prepared it, Lord, and bless it to the goodness of our bodies, Lord, as we take it as a symbol, not as an actual part of your body or your word, but as a symbol of the word that was given on our behalf, the body that was given, our sacrifice. And Lord, the wine, we ask that you would also bless that, Lord, and that you would bless it to our bodies, Lord. And Father, that knowing that taking that fruit juice that's been fermented from the grape, taking that into our bodies, that doesn't fill us with your spirit. That's not the source of eternal life. But we know, Lord, that it speaks of it, that it's representative of it. And Lord, we may not even understand all the reasons why you ordained for us to do this often in remembrance of you and until you come, and Lord, to honor your death and your burial and your resurrection. But we accept it, Lord, and we also know that there's healing in the cup. We also know, Lord, that if we approach this the right way, Father, that the body, if there's any needs in the body, that those needs will be met. Lord, if there's any sickness in the body, that sickness will have to leave. And Father, whatever the need is, we know that if we approach it the right way, Lord, just simply and Lord, honestly and transparently, Lord, with no issues with you and no issues with the body, we know, Lord, that there's blessings that come from that. We don't do it for that reason, but at the same time, we want to recognize that these blessings come with being obedient to your word. And that's what that's our main objective here tonight, Lord, is to be obedient. And Lord, we understand that we'll do things out of obedience, and as time goes on, that you'll give us more revelation about what it is that we're doing. So we don't have to know everything to do it. But we want to show our obedience, Lord. We want to approach it the right way. So, Father, may you bless our time together. May you bless, Lord, these symbols that we take within our bodies. And Lord, may you bless our fellowship. May you meet all the needs that are within the body, Lord. Some were spoken. No doubt there's many more that are going forth with prayer and kept before you, and you know, Lord, but we bring those before you, Lord, in expectation, Lord, that you are the high priest of our confession, and Lord, that we're coming to the right source, and that, Lord, that you care. And Lord, that you promised that you would meet these needs. So we present them into your hands. We present it, Lord, the prayers of the saints, Lord, not just those that are present here, but Lord, you know, we've had conversations with those that are not here with us tonight, Lord, that are in other places for other reasons, and yet they're looking to you, Lord, and we're praying with them and agreeing with them. And so, Lord, we bring them before you tonight, Lord, in faith, believing once again, and we're in expectation, Lord, that these needs will be met. We love you, and we thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 You love him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I love you, Lord. I'm starting out too high. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Take joy, my King.